Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Our reading today is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And it's the whole chapter, so you might like to follow it in our pew Bibles, which is on page 1172. In the Pew Bibles, page 1172. The collection for the Lord's people. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excelled in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love, comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but they might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Titus sent to receive the collection. Thanks be to God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service of the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honour the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. In addition, we are sending with them our brother, who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and co-worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honour to Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you, so that churches can see it. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will speak to us this morning. Speak to our minds and hearts. Speak to us specifically and generally as well as a body of believers. We pray that you will give us new direction, new inspiration, and new energy for the work of living and serving your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone, and it's lovely to see you this morning. We are coming, quite rightly, to the end of our series looking at our vision as a church. And as we have done a number of times in the past few weeks, we are going to dig deep into one concrete story of God with his people passed down to us in the scriptures. And God willing, as we tell that story, we're going to find ourselves in it too, and the same God who sent them then and sends us now. So please do keep 2 Corinthians chapter 8 open. But while you do so, a little illustration. Right, so the thing is, so far in our vision, we have unconditional welcome, Christ-centered revival, and deep discipleship in this generation and the next. Fantastic. Okay. Now, that's all very inspiring. But if we just leave it at that, we may end up just drifting a little bit. We need some focus. Here's one I prepared earlier. Okay. And this is what today is all about. Today is thinking about, where is the target for our vision? Where are we actually going to do that? Where do we want to see those things actually happen? Let's have a look. Oh, right there. Brilliant. If you forget nothing else, remember that. Today, we want to see our vision fly. We want to see our vision land. Where will that happen? The answer is in South Croydon and beyond. Fantastic. Little background before we come to these verses in Scripture. So we've got the Apostle Paul. He's been dramatically converted after an encounter with Jesus. He's spent the latter part of his career on missionary journeys around the Mediterranean, planting new churches. These new churches, they have formed a web of relationships across the Roman Empire. And now in 2 Corinthians 8, he's writing to one of those churches in Corinth. He's probably writing for them for the fourth time. And he's told them a number of things. He's told them they're ambassadors, Christ's ambassadors, people sent by Jesus into the world. And it's great, sort of big picture stuff. And then you get to chapter 8. And it all gets very, very practical and detailed. And Paul asks the people of Corinth to raise money for their Christian brothers and sisters in Macedonia, which is about 700 kilometers north of where they are. Now, when you first read it, it feels a little bit random and a bit distant from where we are today. All this business about this brother over here and this brother over here. And oh, we really trust him. And he's very zealous and eager and so forth. But actually, it's a wonderful worked example full of missionary mindset. And I'd like to pick up four features of that missionary mindset this morning to give us a sense of how the rubber hits the road for us in South Croydon and beyond. Here are the four features. Number one, know that Jesus was sent. Number two, think big. Number three, partner. And number four, keep going. The first feature then of the missionary mindset here is know that Jesus was sent. And I'm going to hop forward here in the passage to the focal point, the verses that Andrew has already read out today. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. Paul says, I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Now, if you've been in churches for a while, you've probably wisened up to the fact that the treasurer often wheels out 2 Corinthians 8 on the day that they want to raise a bit of money. Okay? Now, I think when we meet the Macedonians in the new heavens and the new earth, they're going to have a kind of bone to pick with us on that. And we're like, oh, yeah, you're the guys who made us all raise the money. No, there was a lot more to us than that. There's a lot more here than just finance. So set aside that whole finance thing for a moment. The starting point for engaging in any kind of mission is right here. And it is knowing the grace of Jesus Christ. And Paul explains that grace. He says, it's grace for a start. It's a free gift. For your sake, Jesus became poor. What he means is Jesus once had all the riches of heaven in his grasp. Jesus had a blazing existence with legions of angels, the perfect presence of the Father. And he gave all that up to become poor. He was sent by the Father and he willingly came into the poverty of our broken world as a man. And the human road that he walked was not just like any old human life. He went through the darkest moments of human experience. He was mocked by those he came to save. He was deserted by his friends. And he was hung on the cross as a criminal to die. But as he died, he suffered the punishment for sin that we deserve. And so if you've put your faith in Christ, the guilt you have for all those things, all you've done wrong, that has been taken away in Jesus. And so instead of facing God's wrath and judgment, we stand to receive a beautiful, eternal inheritance. We stand to become endlessly rich in that future at one with God. And so in that sense, Christ's poverty has made every believer rich. And Paul says to the Corinthians, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is willing to ask them to engage in supporting the Macedonians because he knows, he is confident that they know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we too must know it if we are ever going to get going on God's mission. And by the way, if you're not quite sure what the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is yet, you can set aside pretty much most of the stuff that I'm going to say now. What I would love you to go away with is a passion to get to know that grace. We must all know it because it reminds us that our mission is always second to Jesus's mission. He was sent first for us. Only after we've received him do we go ourselves wherever we go. And second, of course, it's an incredibly powerful picture of the countercultural economy of God's kingdom. So when you go out in mission, when you serve other people, your community, your nation, your global neighbors, it will cost. It will cost us to follow Christ. It will cost us in a way that perhaps the people who don't follow Christ around us, they don't really bother about. And sometimes the people around us, sometimes the devil in our head will say, look, all this giving of yourself, all this service, it's not really worth it, is it? I mean, why do you really bother? You're missing out. You're missing out on comfort, convenience, recognition. But God says it's not a waste. It's not a waste because like Christ, Your poverty, and I mean that in the broadest sense, you know, the things that you've missed out on, the discomfort, the inconvenience, the patience, the sacrifice, whatever you've incurred cost-wise in the service of God, is going to make someone else rich. They might gain something that they could not otherwise have had. There is no waste. That is the first part of the missionary mindset. Know that Jesus was sent. Okay, the second one is, the second feature is think big. If we could have the next slide, think big or think wide for the kingdom of God. Back to verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 8. Chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." Paul's writing to believers in Corinth. He says, "I want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches." Now, if you were in Corinth, I think it's fair to say Corinth was a world of its own. You read the letters, there was quite enough going on in the churches there for people to lose themselves in parochial gossip. But Paul said, "I want you to know about the grace God has given to the Macedonian churches. I want you to open your eyes and think what God is doing beyond where you are. There are people," Paul was saying to the Corinthians, "who are a load poorer than you. And they are actually still more generous than you. People who are on fire for God like you wouldn't even believe. People who are living full bore for him like you would probably struggle to imagine. And I want to connect you with them." At the back of the church, Dima has already mentioned it, is our missionary boards. And they list the people who were sent out from this church over the first 80 years of the church's life. And one of the names that you can read on there is that of Jackie Pullinger. And many of you will know her story. She came to faith as a teenager, and at the age of 20, she got a one-way ticket on a boat to the other side of the world. She had £10 in her pocket, and she decided she would wait for God to tell her when to get off. And when she arrived in Hong Kong, she thought, yeah, this is the place. And I think she's now on her ninth decade. She's spent 60 years or so sharing Jesus with drug addicts and prostitutes in the walled city there in Hong Kong, and seen the amazing transforming grace of the Lord Jesus in these young people's lives. I was listening just yesterday to a podcast with her done by Simon Gilbo. He came and spoke here last year. It's brilliant, by the way. You definitely should look it up. Simon Gilbo, Jackie Pullinger. But what's so striking about it is that she has such a big vision for the work of God. Throughout her life, there has always been more work to do, and there's always been more faith and more courage in God's will and God's power to tap into. I wonder whether we can think big. One of my favorites I always love wheeling out is the 1949 50th anniversary magazine. And it sits on my desk and inspires me. And I often turn to the pages in this 50th anniversary magazine where the missionaries around the globe write their messages of encouragement to the church. And my favorite is from the Reverend R. Mulrennan. He was in Western China at the time in 1949, and he writes this: "There is a bond, invisible but very real, which unites all God's people on earth in a common communion around our common Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I represent you of Emmanuel Croydon to the churches of the Kwangan district of Sichuan. As the representative of the local Chinese church, I send you greetings for Emmanuel Church's Jubilee." And here's what he says. This is his prayer. "We pray that the Lord's quickening power may be very manifest in your midst, and that very many of you may feel and obey the constraining urge of the Spirit of God to serve him wholeheartedly, whether at home or abroad." It is inspirational. These guys had a massive global vision. Now, there's a sadness here as well, isn't there? There is no one right now from the Kwangan district of China, to my knowledge, sending us annual greetings. But do you know the Lord has raised more believers in China than there are people in England, in the United Kingdom, in fact, in between times? God has been doing immense things, far beyond, I imagine, even what the Reverend Mulrennan might have thought. And I found myself praying this week, Lord, help me out of my small-mindedness. Help me to think that kind of big. I've got a little diagram for you, concentric circles to help us think through the scope of our involvement with the world. If we could have that up, please. So these concentric rings represent wider horizons. So we have our church, the little circle in the middle, and then South Croydon, the next white circle there. And then the purple bit is all kind of beyond. So Croydon, the UK, and the world. Now, we've got a number of ministries, which I'm going to add to that in just a moment. But just look at it for a moment. All of those areas are places where we can connect and be engaged with. Don't worry if you can't read the actual letters on each of those. That's not the point. All of those little pieces of text represent something that we are connected with or support in some way that connects us to South Croydon, Croydon, UK, and the world. Thank you so much. Let's go back to thinking wide. So I wonder what thinking wide for the kingdom looks like for you. In verse 10 here, Paul says to the Corinthians, last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Perhaps the starting point for you is just to find a desire. Perhaps I'm talking today about things that you just can't even connect with. And you need to just pray, Lord, give me a desire to think big. Perhaps it's time for you to get very practical. Get involved with Saturdays, or our prisons ministry, or Salam, our ministry teaching English to ladies, or befriending refugees. Anything that gets you outside of these four walls in your service of the Lord Jesus. Perhaps it's about your working life, getting a new vision for how you can put Jesus absolutely at the center of your career. Perhaps you're going to change career. There's so much that it could encompass to think big as the people of God. Think big. Think wide. Third, partner. Partner. Verse 6. So, it says, we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we've kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. In other words, please give your money to the Macedonians. Verse 13, reading on from a little bit further down, Paul says, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. So you get the picture. Paul wanted the Christians in Corinth to gather money for their brothers and sisters in Macedonia because at that particular time, the Corinthians had lots of it, the Macedonians really needed it. But straight away he wants to say, look, in general it's going to go both ways. There had been or there are going to be times when the money might come the other way. Or if not the finances, perhaps the churches in Macedonia had other things, plenty of something else that the Corinthians were lacking. Emily, my wife, and a good number of our women here from Emmanuel were away at the Orchard Women's Conference yesterday. It sounds like it went well for those who went. Great, you could all go. And so in the Adams household, I was in charge. We decided in a slightly more chaotic way than normal to make blondie brownies. And so we made our mixture, and rather chaotically, without the usual expert supervision. And then we got to the moment where we had to pour it into the dish. And as you will well know, you have to sort of spread it out evenly over the baking paper. But the stuff is very gloopy, so when you first pour it in, it sort of clumps up one end and then doesn't go all the way to the other. Partnership is the way that we as a church even out the resources that the Lord has given us. It's so powerful. Partnership is the thing that brings from one part in the church that which is needed to the other part that needs it. So one of the things I love about our current situation is that we support Donald and Becky Kamisi. Donald is a Ugandan, came to faith in Uganda. He married a Brit, and they are now serving a ministry in the Circle of Silence in Mexico. It's a brilliant example of the whole church coming together with different needs and different gifts to serve. By the way, do sign up for his newsletter if you'd like to hear more on that. But there are partnership opportunities also on our doorstep. A month or so ago, the church council at St. Andrew's Church, just down the road here, they voted to ask us to partner with them to ensure the long-term future of that church's ministry. They have a small but committed, mission-minded congregation. They've got a stunning church building. It's the one, if you know it, just underneath the roundabout there by the flyover in Croydon. Great place. Brilliantly placed to reach the 7,500 people in their parish. They don't have a minister at the moment. They don't have the finances to sustain that. And so right now we are exploring whether John Featherstone might move to take on the leadership of that church. In fact, he's down there this morning, helping them out in their interregnum, and perhaps with a few people joining him from our church to strengthen that ministry. It would involve us also adding additional financial support, and that's going to be a big strain as well. And there are lots of potential reasons this could all crash and burn even now. But it's the kind of thing, an example of the kind of partnership that enables us to use what we have been given together with what others have to further the work of God. And I could give you many more examples, but I need to be brief. Partner. And finally, keep going. Keep going. In this little moment of practical insight from the Apostle Paul, there are some great little lines. Verse 10. Here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now, finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. It's good to know that 2,000 years ago, there were people who had nice ideas, but kind of needed a little bit of extra help to actually do it. And sometimes that's true for us. We need a flash of vision. And then we need those amazing people, and I can see a load of them this morning, who get it done. And here I want to thank the many of you. Thank you for your eager willingness to serve our church, our community, our global neighbors. Thank you for your ability to get tasks done. It may be that you have a specific kind of financial generosity. Maybe you give your time. Maybe you consistently show up at our monthly prayer meetings to commit all of that to the Lord. It may be that you're on our global mission committee, maintaining and nurturing relationships. Perhaps you have specific connections and partnerships that you're interested in, that you really invest in. Whatever it is, thank you that you keep going. But as we wrap up, I want to return to where we began. Know that Jesus was sent. All of our mission, all of our aspirations for our area have got to start by us receiving Christ. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful picture of your grace. And we pray that every hope and every ambition of our church and of each of our individual lives would find its energy and its starting point in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's quite appropriate that we should close our time together by sharing in the Lord's Supper. We're going to come and take the bread and the wine as a token of our receiving his mercy and grace.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.